Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Ben Humphries.
Thank you. How good is just genuine faith? Just real people loving God, loving people. How good is the house of God today? Really good, and absolutely. Give yourself a round of applause for being here. And yeah, you guys are absolutely fantastic. I've got a great word to preach today, and I want to preach about new growth. How good is spring? I love spring. Spring is the best season. It's the best season. I love, just driving around and looking at all of the crops. I love looking at the wheat, looking at the barley, looking at the canola. And we've got about 18 fruit trees at our house, and I'm always checking them out. You know, we had 41 eggs yesterday out of the chook yard. 7 chooks, 41 eggs. And this is just... Things are just growing everywhere, and it is just so good. And it's the best season. Isn't it the best season? It is so good. So I want to preach about new growth. New growth. You know what? The sun comes out, the spring rains come, and everything just goes full steam ahead. You know, all of the hard work that has been put in, and there's still growth. We've seen this year, there's still growth in winter, there's still growth in autumn. Every season is amazing. But it's like it gets to spring and then it just goes. It just takes off and things grow. And it's absolutely incredible. And it's just effortless. It feels like it's, from all of the hard work. But now it's just amazing, amazing, amazing growth. You know, the first Passover in the Bible, when they crossed the Red Sea, it was springtime, the time of new lambs. And at Passover, they went from slavery to set free. They went from just being alive and getting through, although they did well, and it did say that they were fruitful, but they just went from just getting through and surviving to being set free and going onto the road and on the goal to the promised land. And, I'm not going to read the story of the spies today, but, the story of the spies, when they went out to spy the land, that was in springtime. It was in full growth. It was everything was in peak season. And just when everything was at full steam ahead, they were so close to the promised land. But when the spies went out, that only two thought that they could defeat the lands and defeat the giants and take the land. But the other 10 spies said that they felt like grasshoppers. They felt flat. They felt low. They didn't feel like they could take the land. They didn't feel like they could defeat the giants. And they'd lost their sense of identity. They'd lost a sense of strength. They'd lost the sense of who they were. And the spring season is really a time of incredible opportunity. Incredible opportunity to see things that you've never seen before, to grow in ways that we've never grown before, to mature and to move forward in the things of God, of His plans and His purpose for our lives. You know, Jesus, it says when he was a young boy that every year that his parents, they would go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, you know the story, they went up to the festival. And this is when they lost Jesus. They lost the Savior of the world. They lost the hope of all humanity. They lost him. But praise God, it says that 3 days later, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Perhaps Jesus was asking questions about that first Passover. Perhaps he was asking questions about growing in God and moving forward and really taking a hold of God's plans and God's purposes and what he has for us moving forward. Perhaps that's what he was asking those guys, but it says that he was sitting with them and asking them questions. And Jesus knew who he was. He knew his Father's house. He knew he was among his people and he knew what his purpose was. And it says this in Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That word there, grew, is a great word. You know, I love looking at Greek words. Thanks, Mike. That was just perfect. Good work. Jesus grew. He's going to go and get his barbecue ready and get his stuff sorted. He's on top of that, which is fantastic. Jesus grew. It's a Greek word, prokopto, which means to strike forward, to cut forward away, to make progress and to advance. And you know, if you're here today and if you're listening on the wireless or whatever you're listening, you know, today is an incredible opportunity to move forward, to grow and mature. You know, ultimately, when we look at Jesus, the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus and the church in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4:13, it says this about us. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you know that's our goal? That's what we are moving forward for. That's our benchmark. That's what we are heading towards. The whole measure of the fullness of who Jesus is. And it says until we reach, until we arrive, until we attain to the whole measure. You know, we're not here. I think it was even said this morning, we're not here to just passively exist. We're not here to just perhaps even just fill a seat. We're here to grow. We're here to mature. We're here to move forward. God is here to build us here today. And we're here to occupy and to grow and to move forward into all that Jesus has for us. And so I want to look at a few things in Ephesians today in chapter 4 of three areas of growth that we can look at. And those three things are who you are, what you know, and what you do. It couldn't be more simple than that, could it? We've got to make it easy. Who you are, what you know, and what you do. And then I want to look at perhaps three challenges to that. Maybe challenges to growth preventers, things growth preventers or growth flourishes. And those things can be life under pressure, life when things change, and life in unity, living in unity. So the first thing, who you are. Everybody say who you are. Yes, that was great. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You know, first of all, before anything else, you're a son or a daughter of God. Before anything else. And you know, I'm not a qualified counselor. I can't necessarily speak to, you know, self-esteem, you know, issues and those sort of things. But I can speak to the Word of God. And what God says about you and what the Bible says about you. You know, the creator of the universe knows you. The creator of the universe knows you. He's called you by name. He loves you unconditionally. Loves you unconditionally. And he has made you righteous through faith in Jesus. Through faith in Jesus. And he has seated you in heavenly realms with him. You know, we are created and fashioned and made to be sons and daughters of God. You know, God breathed his life into you when he created you. God himself breathed his life into you, breathed his life into you and made you to be a blessing to all of his creation, to all of his creation. And so how do we do that? Well, really, one of Jesus' major focuses, one of the things that Jesus did was he served people. He loved people. He served people. That was his mission in life. You know, he said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. That was who he was. That was what his Father had sent him for. And, you know, in terms of who you are, we grow to be more like Jesus. That's what we, you know, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so our focus is knowing who we are in God and that we're here to love people and serve people. You know, in ancient Greek and Roman culture, they placed a lot of value on vices and virtues. And they had, you know, all these made-up gods like, you know, Zeus and Artemis and a whole list of them. If you want to look at the list of them, you could perhaps even look at the Marvel movies and find a few of these characters and things in there. And they would all have these vices and virtues and things that their strengths and weaknesses, things that they were sort of good at and things that they weren't so good at. And actually the local small g god, or the local deity in Ephesus was Artemis, and that was the god of Olympia, amongst other things, which you can look them up for yourself. But some of the common vices or things that they didn't like was a thing called hubris. I've never heard of hubris. Have you heard of hubris? Hubris was like an over-exaggerated pride. You know, you can have a good pride. We can have a healthy self-esteem. There's nothing wrong with that. But these guys didn't like, you know, their really over-exaggerated pride, which I think is a bit Aussie. You know, it's okay. You know, it's okay to have pride, but don't just get a bit too far ahead of yourself. You know, we don't like that. So they didn't like that. What else didn't they like? Where are my notes gone? They didn't like things like, where is it? They didn't like losing your notes. They didn't like greed. They didn't like flattery. And they didn't like injustice. And they didn't like, definitely didn't like losing their notes. So these were some of their culture. This is in their culture. They had these gods and they made up these things. And so these are some of the things. They didn't like those type of things. Some of the virtues, the things that they did like, was courage, which is a good thing. They liked self-discipline. They like wisdom and they like justice. And you know, when Paul was speaking to these guys, whenever he was speaking to the churches, if he was speaking in Ephesus or he was speaking in Corinth, he was always speaking it to the dominant culture of the time. What was going on in that area? What was going on around there? And he was always appealing to them to turn away from that culture, from that old way of life, and grow into the new way of life of following Jesus. You see, and Paul never held back on listing the things to turn away from. If you ever read them, you know, he didn't really have a filter for just going, well, you know what, I'll just hold that back because that's too much information. Paul was just like, no gossip, envy, filthy language, sexual sin, slander, pride, greed, lust, you name it. Paul would just say, listen, this is what we've turned away from. And he would turn the blowtorch on it. But he was speaking into the culture. That's what the culture was. That's what the culture was there in these places. And he was appealing to them to turn away from that. In Ephesians 4:20, it says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, Paul says that we were created to be like God. This is who we are. We were created to be like God. And it was a revolutionary thinking. You see, because when all of their gods, their Zeus and this and that, they were high and mighty. You could never sort of be like them. The gods were up there and the people were down here. But Paul is talking about an amazing God, Jesus, who created us to be like him, who walked with us, who was in a human form like us. And so in Jesus imparts his righteousness and his holiness to us. So what are some of the things that we can grow in? What are some of the qualities that we can grow in to be like Jesus? Well, Peter says it in 2 Peter. He says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, the greatest of all, love. You see, when it says there to add to your faith, it's an incredible word. It's a great word. We're going to look at it a bit later. But for now, in terms of what Peter is saying here, it's not just God that does all the work. God definitely works in our hearts and in our lives, but it's not just God that does all the work, but we work in partnership with him. John Bunyan wrote a book, The Pilgrim's Progress, in 1678, which is a long time ago. And he said that the soul of religion is the practical part. And when it says there to add to your faith, it's more than just, you know, sitting in a seat. It's more than just doing that, but that we are to grow into people that have these things in our everyday life. Goodness, what's that all about? Goodness is to put the best of your energy into doing good. That's what the word means, to put the best of your energy. You know, it's not just, the last thing of the day where we've got, you know, there's 1% left. Well, I'll just do a little bit of good. No, it's saying to put the best of your energy into doing good. The first thing in the morning when you wake up, that's when we put our goodness. That's the best of your energy, the most of your energy. Knowledge, it's talking about having an insight and an understanding of knowing God. We're going to look at it a bit later. Not knowing about God, but knowing God. Really big difference. You know, we can know things about God. Maybe we could know some stories. But actually genuinely knowing God, that's what it's talking about there. Knowledge, goodness, knowledge, self-control, having a strength. Having strong convictions about who God is. Having strong convictions, having self-control, having strength in your life. Perseverance, having an unshakable resilience and an endurance in all things. Who knows, there's things in our life and in our world that are difficult. Some days are hard. And you know what? Those days are not there to reduce us and to shrink us down. They're there for us to rise above and to be strong, to have a perseverance in our faith. godliness. Living a life is consistent with what you confess and what you believe. Having a life that is consistent with what we say, that is godliness. Mutual affection. The word there is incredible. It's called Philadelphia. Yeah. Who wants to live in Philadelphia? It's just be kind to one another. How good is that city? Just be kind. Mutual affection, being kind to one another. Love, favoring people before yourself, honoring them and serving them. These are things that we can grow in. These are the things that we can have new life growing in our hearts and in our lives every day. Who you are. God is looking for us today to want to pour out into us and to help us to grow in these things. And the Holy Spirit will help you to strengthen you in all of those areas. So who we are, we can grow in who we are. What we know, we can grow, have new growth today in what we know. In Ephesians 4, it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, and that is Jesus. You know, the thing that holds us steady in the waves and the wind is the truth about Jesus. The thing that holds us straight in a world that twists and changes, the truth is Jesus. The truth in Jesus. And it says that we are to grow to become the mature body of Jesus who is the head. You know, today there is perhaps no greater opportunity to speak the truth in love than what we have right now. And the word there, speaking the truth, it's not one word. It's not two words, it's one word. In the way we interpret it, it's speaking the truth. It looks like two words, but in the Greek, it's one word, speaking the truth. And it has the idea of maintaining the truth, living the truth, and doing the truth. In the Amplified Version, it says it a little differently. It says, rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, and living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into Him who is the head, even Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You see, it means to be true, to arrive at the truth, and then to speak the truth. In a similar way, when we talk about preaching the gospel, you know, we say, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. Well, I think you can also apply that to truth. Let's live the truth and sometimes use words, but also use words. And let's be true in our lives. It's like we were just talking about, you know, with some of those things where our lives are consistent with what we believe and what we say. You see, Jesus never promised a life without any opposition. And Paul is agreeing with that. He's saying, look, there will be wind and waves to overcome. And there's going to be circumstances that you need to go through. And really the picture here is that of a skillful sailor, someone who has the skill and the knowledge and the maturity to navigate the course so that you know what sails to tighten and you know what direction to take. You know, in the book of Job, it's a story of a man who endured incredible tragedy. And all through the story, he has friends who offer all kinds of advice about God. And they have all sorts of answers and they can think of all of the reasons that they believe that for Job's suffering. But in the end, God restores Job's fortunes to greater than before. But the friends are rejected as people who didn't speak the truth about God. And the thing that Job is praised for is that he didn't try to talk about God, but he took his pain and his circumstances and he spoke directly to God. Directly to God. There's a big difference between talking about God and going directly to God. You see, you'll learn more about God by what we know, by spending 1 minute in His presence, than you'll ever by ever listening to the crowd. The best way to grow in what we know is to talk to God directly Himself. What we do, we can grow in what we do. We can grow in who we are. We can grow in what we know. We can grow in what we do. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, I love looking at the meaning of these words of the original language. And you know, the writers didn't always explain some things. They didn't always explain some things because to them the meaning was obvious. To the people in the churches that were writing to, some of these meanings were obvious. But to us it's not always obvious. And the word here, supplies, is one of those words that gets lost in translation. The word supplies comes from the Greek chorus, which is really interesting. And it means to lead a stage chorus or a dance. So you'll be pleased to know that I'm not going to be dancing for you today. That is not in my repertoire. I haven't been blessed with that gift. But that's what this word is. This word supplies. But what every joint supplies, it's the word chorus. And now, I was just talking to Steve earlier about the city of Ephesus had a huge amphitheater. And Steve and Mel visited there just this year. Is that right? Just this year. And they walked the streets of Ephesus. Where we're reading these scriptures from, where Paul was talking to these guys and preaching to these guys, Steve and Mel were there. And how good would that be to just walk those streets and just know that that's what happened here, Paul spoke here and there. But anyway, there's a huge amphitheater, and it kind of maybe even dominates the town. It's a 25,000-seat amphitheater. And you know, it's one of those ones, if you can imagine, where it's kind of the low part, the stage is down the bottom, and sort of a semicircle stage, and then this up, the terraces just rise up around the hill, and it just goes all the way around. And this amphitheater was a prominent part of Ephesus, and they would put on dramas, or you know, they would call it a tragedy. I don't know. I think it's just like a play, a drama, a tragedy, or you know, a performance or a theatre performance. And the chorus, this word chorus, what the chorus is, were a group of performers or singers or dancers. And their role was to interact between the characters of the play and the audience. And so the actors would perform the play, and then the chorus would come out on stage or maybe even go into the audience, and they would reveal the plot and the story with singing and dancing, and they would bring out the story and the meaning of the play and bring it to life. And when Paul says that what every joint supplies, he's talking about what we do, that we're never meant to be in the crowd. We are meant to be the chorus who are bringing the message to life. You see, the play that is showing right now is the redemption of all creation. That's the play that is showing. The actors are the Father and who sent his Son into the world to save all mankind. Some of the other actors are the angels, and the villain is the devil. This is what's playing on the show right now. The stage is the universe that God created. The crowd or the audience is the world, full of unsaved people, people who don't yet know Jesus as their Savior. But the greatest thing about the show is the chorus. The chorus is you. It's me. It's us. The chorus, you are the chorus who brings the meaning of the message alive to the crowd. You see, the church is never intended to be the crowd. The church is meant to be the ministers and the servants and the people who bring the message alive. You know, it says in Colossians that Jesus had disarmed the principalities and powers, and he's made a public spectacle out of them. You know, it's like Paul reveals the plot where the crowd ends up laughing at the villain. We have an incredible purpose and calling to be a part of the chorus. So how do you grow in what you do? Well, it's being in unity with everyone else in the chorus. We all have a part to play. We've all got to sing the right notes. We've all got to sing the right harmony. And we all have to dance the right steps at the right time. I'm still learning that. Still learning that. So what are some challenges to new growth? The first thing is life under pressure. You know, facing opportunity is actually an opportunity to grow stronger. The first thing that's going to happen when you say you're a Christian is we're going to come under pressure. It says in James, I haven't got the scripture up there, but you know the one, you're familiar with it. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many times, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, you know, when we come under pressure, who you are, it challenges who you are. But you know, those things are only here to make us stronger. To make us stronger. When James wrote about this, it wasn't something that said, oh, well, maybe one day you might have a problem or two. No, it was like when you face your trials. It's like these things are going to be there. We're going to have to walk through them. But this is how you deal with it. You know, and really the first thing they would have thought of is some of their heroes like Abraham and Job. You know, Abraham was tested, but God ultimately rewarded his faithfulness. Job suffered great tragedy, but God ultimately brought incredible blessing. And all through church history, but from the book of Acts right down through the centuries, wherever there's been opposition and persecution, the church has always grown stronger. You know, pressure and opposition is here for us to grow through, and God will help you in that. We can still grow in who you are. Facing opposition is an opportunity for great reward. The second thing that can challenge is life in changing circumstances. What makes you grow in what you know? You know, the thing is this, that no matter what we face, our main objective is to bring glory to God. That's one of our main objectives, just to bring glory. No matter what circumstances, no matter what things changes, we're here to bring glory to God. You know, it's not what we know about God that matters the most, but it's our relationship of knowing God and glorifying him. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," it's saying, God, let your name be honored and worshipped above all else. You know, learning information about God won't really help you, but worshipping and knowing the presence of God will help to change your life in all circumstances. The last thing that is a challenge, you guys can jump up. The last thing that can help us grow is living in unity. What makes you grow in what you do? It's unity. If we don't have unity, we won't grow. In Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Do you know, if we're not joined and knit together, the sad thing is we won't grow. And equally sad is the rest of the body doesn't grow the same as well. You see, for the chorus to sound good, not only do you have to play the right notes and sing the right harmony, you also have to be joined and knit together in the right place. And we have an incredible blessing and an incredible purpose in God to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel, to preach the good news about who Jesus is. And we've got a message to tell and a place. You know, it doesn't matter. You might not be able to sing, but we're not saying about the chorus here. It's not just the singers or the musicians. It's everything, everybody. God has caused all of us to have unique gifts and talents. And it all comes together, it all knits together when we're in unity. When we're in unity together is when it all finds its place. That's the great news, that no matter whatever your gifts and talents are, when you're joined and knit together, not only do you grow, but you grow to become a blessing for everybody else around you. You know, I've hoped you enjoyed the message today. I believe there's new growth for all of us. There's new growth in this season. There are so many things that we can grow, and there are so many things that God is looking to bring increase. It said that Jesus there, that he increased, that he carved a way forward, that he advanced. And it doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, no matter what your world, that God can bring new growth into who you are. God can strengthen who you are. He can strengthen your resolve and your sense of purpose, just even in your inner, in your heart. You can have a new growth of knowing this is who I am. I'm God's son or I'm God's daughter. He's put me in this place for a reason and a purpose. And I'm not just here to maybe just sit in a seat, although it's great that you made the excellent decision to sit in the seat today. You've done well. But there's also where you can grow in God's plans and God's purpose in who you are, that you're the apple of his eye. And he has got a plan and a purpose for you to grow, to be actually a part of it on the stage where you're actually spreading the message for all the universe to know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And we can grow in that. We can grow in that. And it's a season when it's growing season, it just grows. Do you know what? And all you really need to do is just open your heart to God. Say, Lord, I want to be here today. And God, I want to grow. Lord, pour that into my heart today. Pour that into my life. Let me be somebody who grows. God, I want to be somebody here who doesn't catch a hold of and move forward. You know, we talked about moving into the promised land. It's like, God, I want to move forward into what you have for me. And we can grow personally. We can grow. We can become bigger on the inside. And the challenges outside might not change. The challenges might be big or small, but our heart can grow to rise above and to overcome it. So let's just say, God, today, Lord, let me grow. Let there be new growth in my heart and in my life. We could grow in what we know. Ultimately, it's knowing God that is going to help you more than anything. We can know things about the Bible. We can know stories. We can know things. But knowing who God is, if we can grow in that, if we can grow in understanding his presence, there still is an incredible presence of God here today, just from your faith of reaching out to God. Let's even take that. If that's a high tide mark, let's take that and grow it. If we were here today sensing the presence of God, then let that just be the new low minimum. Maybe that's the new low minimum. From here, we only want to grow in the presence of God in our hearts and in our lives. This is a season where we can grow in knowing who God is. And a second, a moment in his presence can expand your heart and expand your life greater than anything. Greater than anything. Greater than anything. New season of growing. And in what we do, Lord, let there be growth in what we do. Let us be on that world stage. Let us be on that stage of preaching the gospel, of ministering in all of the so many different ways and different things. Maybe you haven't even discovered what that is yet in your life. Maybe you're still learning to discover, Lord, what is my purpose? What is my unique, you know, place to fit in the chorus? You know, I'm not good at dancing, so I don't want to do that. You know, maybe this is where I fit. We can grow and learn and increase and expand, and we can be people who are a part of what God is doing in the earth in every single different way, in every different part of who you are. So, Lord, today, Lord, thank you so much. Lord, for your presence here today. Lord, thank you so much for pouring into our lives. Lord, that we can grow. God, that we can come here today and leave as a changed person. Lord, leave as somebody who's got something expanding and growing and enlarging on the inside. Lord, let us never be satisfied with what point that we've come to, but may we use this level today to be a new minimum and we go to the next place, we go to the next level. Lord, let there be growth in our hearts today. Let there be growth in our lives. Let there be growth in our influence of loving people, God, today. Let us, Lord, expand those things of godliness and loving people. Lord, let those things increase in our hearts and lives. Lord, let us just know Jesus in a new and a real way today. And God, Lord, I just pray and ask for your blessing and your favor to be upon each and every person as we grow today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.